Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
There's an importance of having credit at a young age. Like you said, yes, one of those factors is the credit age, right? And so if we're getting credit at 20, 23 years old, we've missed some years that we actually could have. So talk about the importance of establishing credit at a younger age. Maybe talk about authorized users and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the parents out there, I recommend every parent, if you can, if you have a credit card that you know you're not going to, you know, pay late or whatever, and with good history, I recommend to add your child at no later than 17. Now, if your child is 18, obviously you can add them. But adding your child from the ages of 16 through 17 will set them up for when they turn 18, they'll already have an established credit profile. Most people don't realize that you do not have a FICO score just because you turned 18. You have to have 6 months of credit history with at least two accounts before FICO will issue you a credit score, right? So as opposed to just starting at 18 and building your own credit, if you have a parent, a responsible parent that will put you on their credit card prior, at least 6 months prior to your 18th birthday, you'll already start off, you know, a little ahead of the pack, right? So as opposed to getting those entry-level credit cards, sometimes you can get quality offers because it's really easy to get a 700 credit score, especially if you have no collections or you haven't messed up your credit yet. It is super easy to get 700. So adding, if you have the opportunity to be an authorized user on a family member's card, and if you share an address with them, it's better because nowadays the anti-abuse laws affects trade lines, authorized users. And so if you have the same address or the same last name, you'll be more credited for those accounts, right? Or for the authorized user accounts. Once you turn 18 though, because this is the mistake a lot of parents make, they'll put their child on their credit card at like 15, 16, whatever. And then whenever they turn 18, the child will have like a 700 credit score. And as opposed to making the child or having the child apply for their own accounts, they just kind of lean on mom's card or mom's credit history and think that it's going to take them far. And that's where they run into the situation of having a high credit score, but not a lot of credit, not a worthy credit borrowing, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure that when that child turns 18, like on my children, on their 18th birthday, we're going to be applying for a credit card. On their 18th birthday, because the earlier the better. Apply for a credit card. Please apply for a credit card before a student loan. That's just like a side note. That's one of the things, that's one of the mistakes that I wish that I can catch with a lot of people. Having a credit card be your first established account, your credit age is going to be reliant on that account. The great thing about credit cards is they can be open forever. Like, there is no end date to a credit card unless you choose to close the card or the bank chooses to close the card. Whereas a loan, every loan has a term date. Every loan will end eventually. So when your credit age is based on a loan, once that account closes, your credit age is going to be affected drastically, right? So if you have your first established account as a credit card, that's sort of like a safety blanket for your credit age. And so make sure at 18, apply for a card. It can be a secure card. It can be a subprime card, whatever. Apply for a credit card. And then start to build your own credit history because authorized users can only take you so far and not very far nowadays.
Just a quick follow-up because you did bring up closing cards. And I know a lot of people, as they're trying to fix their credit, are like, all right, well, I paid it off. Let me close it. Mm-hmm. Talk about like how that could negatively affect your score as well.
Yeah, it could. My rule of thumb when it comes to closing credit cards is if the credit card has an annual fee and you're not getting any increases and it's just not worth it to keep it, There will come a time where you'll probably want to close that card. When you close that card is super important. Number one, if you are applying for anything, any large purchase like a car or a home within the next 6 months, it's not the time to close that card. Close it after you get your car, your home, whatever. The only time I would suggest you closing a credit card is if you know, like I said, 6 months free of any applications. And also make sure that you have another card before you close that card. I see people all the time, like, I just hate this card, I want to close it, etc. And it's just like, that's going to do more harm than good. I have a $200 Capital One card that I've had since college. That card is still open. I haven't gotten an increase in years. I don't even care to use the card. I keep it open specifically because credit age. An aged credit card is the most beneficial thing that you can have on your credit report. And it's one of those things that's like the gift that never stops giving, because every single 3 to 6 months that a car ages, it's going to add more to your credit age and also your FICO points. So keep that in mind. So don't close a card unless you have to. If you have a card that you don't use, put a subscription on it. I have Netflix, like pick one of your subscriptions that you probably have coming out of your bank account. Assign those to each of your credit cards so that it can have usage, so the bank will not close it due to non-usage.
So what about putting your child on the credit card?
Yeah.
As so, a child.
Yeah, for the one of the things that people think that makes a difference is if they add their child at like 12 or 13. That doesn't make it, regardless if you add your child at 12 or if you add them at 17, it will not make a difference in terms of the effect that it'll have on their credit reports. That's a misconception. However, me personally, I would suggest, like I said, adding your child at like 17. When someone adds their child at 13, to me, it just, that's 7 years, 7-8 years until they turn 18. And that's a lot of room. It leaves a lot of room open for a mistake. What happens if you get a late payment on that card? And now your child's credit will be affected before they can even establish credit. So we never know what can happen, right? So I'm adding my children at when they turn 17. Yeah. Long as you have 6 months before they turn 18, they're fine.
Yeah, I was a beneficiary of that.
Ooh.
So I was added to my mom's, I told this story before, but I was added to my mom's American Express card at 17. And so now even when I get the card, it'll say member since 85, ooh, even though I was born in 82. But my credit history goes back that far. So it's over 37 years. So every time I get a new card, it gets averaged into that.
Yeah.
And so I think when I...
that's a blessing.
It was a blessing. And it's still a blessing, actually. Yeah. I still have the card. Because I just want that history. Because that 37 years plus a one, they get averaged in, makes it like 16 years of credit age. So I'm like, that works perfectly.
And American Express is a huge relation bank. Like,
indeed.
Man,
indeed.
Having a long-standing relationship with them, you can get anything.
This is true. But we talked about the number 700, and it's key. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to... You know, some people may not have a 700, but it feels like that's the goal. But there are people, like, what are the numbers that in the range that people should be trying to get to? 700, 750? I know we got some 850s out there.
Yeah, so I'm a little different when it comes to credit scores, right? Because I know the scoring model and how much your credit profile matters. Most people don't believe me when I say, I had over $100,000 in credit card limits before my score was 700, right? And it was simply because I learned how to set up my credit profile that far passed my credit score. There's a lot of people who have over 700 and still can't get approved for over $10,000, $20,000, right? Because their borrowing power does not match their score. So I don't ever recommend a specific score. What I will say is, like I always say, a healthy profile will translate. People need to focus on their credit profile more, meaning making sure you don't have any late payments. If you do have late payments, try to rectify those. If you have collections, try to rectify all of your credit issues. Make sure that you have at least 4 accounts open at all times. Like, after you begin to build credit, there should never be a time where your credit profile goes below 3 open accounts or goes below 4 open accounts. Anytime, regardless, you can have an 800 credit score. If you do not have at least 4 accounts open, any application that you do, you're going to get what's called an empty profile penalty, right? And we don't see this as consumers. We can't see this on our credit score or our credit report. However, when it comes to lenders and how our credit reports are assigned and how they translate over to their system, if you have less than 3 accounts open, 4 accounts open, then regardless of your score, you're automatically penalized. You're automatically moved down to a lower tier of borrowing power, multiple tiers rather. So that's going to be more important, making sure you're not applying let's just say an American Express card if you have just opened up 2 other credit cards in the last 6 months, right? So those are the things that speaks more to like your approval. Now, when it comes to score, if I had to say, I would say 680 and above, you pretty much, with a healthy profile, you pretty much can get anything.
680, yeah. Okay.
680 and above. And it's super, and the thing is, it's so, and I know this probably sounds far-fetched to a lot of people, but it's so easy to get a 680. Like, I actually tell people, if you don't have at least a 650, then usually one of 3 things are the case. You had a recent collection within 18 months, a recent late payment within 24 months, or you have high utilization, because as long as you don't have those, you should at least have a 650, just in terms of how our credit scores are allotted. Mm-hmm.